Praise God. God is so good. His presence, there's nothing like it. I was over visiting a family this week that was in fairly dire straits, and they called me, a husband and wife and a young child. I won't go into all the details, just because I'm protecting privacy here. At this stage, just want to give you the story. It's amazing, you know, even though you may not have, you know, I'll put it this way, you kind of leave God out of the picture for a while, then all of a sudden you're desperate and you cry out to God and you think, is he ever going to answer? Maybe he's going to answer the prayers of those who are always faithful. And I don't know what the intent, but the desire of the heart was to, you know, to have God intervene. It was a very, it was a serious situation. So this was the scenario. But they called on somebody they knew that would connect, was connected to God. So obviously, I was there the next morning and we had a chance to share. And I'll just tell you, within hours, it was like a miracle of what God did to intervene. Like after I left, we had prayed and just, you know. And what's interesting is the Lord, God is amazing how he will use you in other people's lives. So in the context of the message today, I'll share this, that today's the message is hearing God's voice for others. We've been talking about how to hear God's voice. Last week, message was on how to hear God's voice for ourselves, or 2 weeks ago. Last week, you were storm stage. So this week, the message is how to hear God's voice for others. And, you know, we have sometimes no idea when we are spending time with God personally that when God is speaking to us and pouring into our life words from his Spirit, or words which are also words which are biblical, like Bible. I mean, of all places that God's Spirit speaks through is right here. Amen? It's the Word of God, the Bible. And everything else has to be contextualized with it. If I get a word from the Lord that's not necessarily a scripture verse, but it's a word from the Lord, it has to be within the context of the Word of God and the character of Jesus, right? Or character of God. Can't be outside of that. And it just happens to be that morning I was reading this scripture. So I'm going to share with you this verse. And anyone else reading through the Bible in the year right now? Who's reading through the Bible in the year, the program that's the new version? No, nobody else, it's me. Okay, shouldn't say that. But maybe you're reading through another plan and a program. But you should be reading through your Bible, amen. Not necessarily, but reading your Bible anyways. But anyway, I'm back on track again this year. Last year, the Lord blessed me, and I was able to read through the Bible. And the Lord just said, you're going to stay on course. And that'll be, and so I'm reading through the Bible, different places. And the Psalm reading for that morning was Psalm 31 and the first few verses. If you want to just turn to that, just for Psalm 31. And I just want you to read this. So I'm prepared with this word in my spirit. And I really felt it was a good word that God gave to me in the morning as I'm spending time with the Lord. But hear the word, and all of a sudden, I'm in the context of seeing this family. And this is the word. And the person says to me, and you read that this morning? Like as if to say, you know, that you came prepared to give this to me, you know. But how did you, you know, you read that this morning? And this is how the Lord speaks. One way the Lord speaks. So hear this. This is the word. Psalm 31, verses 1 to 8. Okay, let's say it together. Okay, that's just the first part. Let's forget about the further direct. Okay, all right. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead me and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me. For you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord. And I will... Thank you, Lord. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Now, in the context of the situation, it like fit like a glove. They needed to be rescued. They needed to feel that they were protected. They needed to feel that they were defended in the situation. I said the other day, in the context of this theme that we're on, about God speaking and hearing God's voice, that God's always speaking. It's whether we capture it or not and acknowledge it's God. God's always saying something. My wife goes out in her garden and in her, you know, place where she's made a pond, and it's a beautiful spot. If you've ever been to our place in the summertime, it's really amazing. And that's her little place. And she'll sit there and she will enjoy her fish in the pond, and she will sit there with her time with God, and God just jumps out to her like this from nature, creation, speaking to her of his amazing grace and love and all the stuff. So, you know, God will use anything and everything to get our attention and to speak to us. And first and foremost, I said last week that we have to be really understand, a couple of weeks ago, we have to really understand that primarily God is interested in a relationship. He's a relationship God, right? Everything about God is about connecting. So Jesus is God's Son who comes to give us a relationship with God. And everything about Jesus when he walks on earth, it was about relationship with people. And so it's relationship. And even when Jesus is walking on earth, he recognizes his relationship to God, the Father, was so important that he would take time to hear what the Father would say. Because even Jesus himself said, I am dependent on a word from the Lord. I am dependent on a word from my Father, because the words I speak are not of my own accord. They are, as I hear my Father speak, I speak. As I hear my Father speak, I do. In that relationship, it's in the context of relationship that God speaks. So I come into that place and see, in the context of relationship, I really need to know, you know those words I read earlier in Romans 8, I need to know that God is for me and not against me. I need to have a revelation of the heart of God, the heart of the Father, the heart of the Father who is, God is love, 1 John 4. If there's any other context from which I'm coming when it comes to hearing a word from the Lord other than love being the supreme context, then I get all messed up. Even if it's a word of correction, if I don't have an understanding of the love of God, I get messed up. Right? Because it's the love of God who cares enough for me and cares enough for you that he's going to administer his truth. So truth, a word from the Lord has to be wrapped in love. Let's never forget that. Love has, it's like here's the word delivered. Okay, let's just say the word comes to me. It's got to be delivered in a love hand with, I know it's coming from Jesus. It's coming from the Father. It's being delivered like that. This is my word to you, my dear child. And when that word comes from the heart of the Father, and I have an understanding that this is coming from that heart, hey, then I'm open to receive. So 2 weeks ago, I asked, we did an exercise. We said we're going to do an exercise about how to hear God's voice. If you were here, and some of you took your paper I gave to you, and you wrote on that paper the question, God, what do you think of me? Or God, what are you saying to me? Now, some of you, when you wrote that down, had written some, like you captured a moment. And as I said last week, when we hear from the Lord, there is a place where we have to, you know, a word from the Lord is wrapped in love, and I have to even discern, is it a word from my mind or is it a word from the Lord, right? Is it a word, because our mind, our conscious mind, or even our circumstances, which we're going through in life, can kind of speak loud at any moment, and it can be louder than the word that God wants to bring in. Are you following me? Anybody know what I'm saying? Yeah. So when we get, it's skewed, or it's mixed up. It's like there's an impurity to the word. So when we hear a message from God, it's so important. I don't know how else to tell you, but you got to nail it with love as a center. And capture it. And within the context, I said last week, and I'm going to say this again this week, if you need a copy of this, I'll make more copies. And I think it's very important that we have it. Oh, by the way, you know, tonight we're starting a course. We're starting a study here. It's hot. Four keys on how to hear God's voice. So we're going to be doing this course for several weeks, and it's going to be a very interactive. There's going to be a teaching, but then we're going to do exercises. We're actually going to, you know, having some ways to be able to discern. So it would be very helpful. By the way, how many of you are planning on coming? I have some syllabus or training manuals. That's wonderful. That's great. I have enough, and there's a few other coming that are not here at the church, but I have enough manuals, and I want to make sure I have enough to give to everybody. So, but in the context of this, there's always some, we'll call it safety measures, guidelines. And as I said, love has to be number one, right? Yeah? Okay, and then the other thing, I'm just going to list them again. This is true whether you're getting a word from the Lord for yourself or whether you sense that you're getting a word of the Lord for somebody else. It's true in any context, okay? So this is good to kind of have in your back pocket or in your mind, in your heart. First of all, test the origin. 1 John 4:1, it's a test of spirits, right? And there is a place where, and we have to recognize that, you know, is it, so we have to, we're not going to go into details right now. Just, we may look at that a little bit later. In the context, but in first, well, let's just look that. Maybe we should just take a quick look at this one. This is important, I think, because you're wondering what does it mean. And I think I can see that blank look on some faces. when I see that, it's a good place to just go and check it out. Okay, 1 John, if you're in your Bibles, 1 John chapter 4. All right, who's going to read that for me? 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Somebody read it nice and loud. Okay, verses 1 and 1, 2. Well, anybody here got it? Or what's up there? Okay, well, let's all read it together then. All right. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Okay, Keep going. This is how we know and recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now. All right, let's just wrap it up in one statement. Okay, those three verses. Okay? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of. True prophecy has the testimony of Jesus. How about this? If anything that you're getting is not in line with Jesus, Jesus' teachings, Jesus' character, Jesus' words, Jesus, who Jesus is, then you can almost say, well, I'm not sure if I want to receive that. Understand that? So keep it simple. This is not like, oh, so complicated. It's not complicated. You'll have a sense when you receive a word or when you're given a word, is it of the Spirit of Jesus? Even, see, Holy Spirit, Jesus said this about Holy Spirit. He said, when the Spirit comes, he will testify of me, not me, of him. He said, when I send the Holy Spirit, he will testify of me. He will point people to me. So a word from the Lord is a Jesus word. It's coming from the Holy Spirit. And then the next one is compare it to biblical teachings, the biblical principles, the overall arching, you know, word of the Scripture. So if it's out of harmony with the Bible, then it's got to be from another source, and it's not God. So, okay, let's just say this. Then, is it important for you to know your Bible? Okay. So it's important to know the Word. Thirdly, compare it to the character of God, the character of Jesus revealed in the Bible. Does this reflect God? Would it be the heart of the Father? And then as I said earlier, test the Spirit. Test the fruit. Well, okay, we test the, yeah, test the fruit. All right, I said last week that, you know, the gift of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit are not two separate entities. They are hand in hand. Okay, so if the word from the Lord has love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, patience, thank you. Yeah. So there is a part. So in other words, the word of the Lord has the fruit of the Spirit in its context, in its both in its delivery and in its in the overall sense, it's going to be that way. All right. And then something that's very important that Mark Verkler, when we do the course in the next few weeks, for the next few weeks, you're going to find that Mark Verkler really hits quite a bit on this next one, which I think is important. Because when you get a word from the Lord, both personally, because Mark Verkler is going to talk more about how to hear it from God, but it's in both contexts. How to hear from God for you personally, which is going to come out in journaling, okay? So when you journal, when you write, you know, when you get a word from the Lord, you should actually, if you get a dream from God, you should write out the dream or a vision or a word or whatever. I think it's helpful. But then if you get a word from the Lord, he says it's important to a point where he would say that you should have two or three spiritual counselors to take that word to. Well, let me ask you this. Is that biblical? Well, maybe you don't know your Bible in this way, but I'm going to give you a scripture. In the mouth of two or three, every word shall be. Say it again. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Because here's the thing. You know, none of us are all that, you know, maybe you think you are all that great to be able to discern if it's from God. But also there's safety in the multitude of counselors. Isn't that a biblical scripture? So don't be afraid of going to some. Now, I wouldn't go to every Tom, Dick, or Harry. Do you understand what I mean? Or Mary, Sue, and Sally. Okay? It's not, okay, I'm just. But there is a place where I take that word and I go to, you know, two or three people and say, listen, would you think this might be from God? I believe especially as you're starting to walk in this journey, it's important. I think it's important perhaps all through life because it'll also safeguard and protect you, right? So just keep those things in mind. Amen. All right. Now, I'm going to go back to this how to hear in regard to hearing from God for others. Couple of scriptures that came to mind, which are not necessarily, you would say, directly teaching this, but I really felt the Lord put them in my heart, so I want to share them. Okay, so one is John 7, Jesus teaching in John chapter 7, and in a verse, I think it's 33, 34, somewhere in that context, in that area. John chapter 7, Jesus, he's talking about Holy Spirit, and he makes this statement in John chapter 7. You're already there, are you, Simon? Are you awake? All right, John 7:33, I think it is. Try there. I know it's in that area. Or is it 30-something here? Maybe, no, it's later on. Sorry, 37, 38. Sorry, got it. 37, 38. Okay, so it says, on the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. All right. Okay, who's thirsty for revelation? Anybody thirsty for revelation? Okay, what does Jesus come to? Come to? Okay, another verse that you know. Jesus, I am the truth and the? Okay, how many want to get a word that's the truth? How many want to get a word that's life? How many want to get a word that is the way, that points direction and gives you life? Gives you a sense of purpose and meaning? Yeah, you know, it's like, okay, and it's truth. How many want that? Well, Jesus says, come to me. Same in that same verse, John 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If anyone comes to me, what? What will he do? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. How does that rest that go? Without me, no. No one comes to the Father. Okay, you want to get a word from the Lord. Jesus, I'm the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, what's interesting in that context, you know, when you read John 14, I'm just sort of going back to 14 for a minute. In 14, Jesus, then they said, well, Lord, we don't know the way to the Father. Remember that question? How can we know the way and how do we get there? And Jesus says, hey, how long have I been with you? And don't you know that I and the Father are one, right? So what I'm giving you, because he's in such a relationship with the Father, he's getting from the Father, and what they're getting is Father, word from God. You know what I mean? So I just believe there is a place where we need to recognize that we're drawing from Jesus, which is really drawing from the Father. Are you with me here? And how does God administer all that? By his Spirit. It's all involved. The Holy Spirit is what gives us a revelation of it. He makes it alive. You know, this is really amazing. You know, you got to take John 14 and read it all together. And it really makes a lot of sense because John 14 is primarily talking about Holy Spirit. John 14, 15, and 16 is about Holy Spirit. So it's beautiful how this context works. But now Jesus, John, back in John chapter 7, and it says here, on this last great day of the feast, anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from them. I'm convinced that God's desire is we draw into the presence of Jesus and expect, believe in him, that streams of living water will flow from you. And it says here, and this he spoke concerning the Spirit. By this he meant the Spirit. Of course, this was coming in his historical context. Jesus talking about the outpouring of Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit has already come. All right. Now, we can be filled with the Spirit now. We can be immersed. We can be baptized in the Spirit. So there's a place where Jesus wants to pour out to us, in us, his revelation and our knowledge and understanding, his word to us, for us, and his word to us for others. I love this verse. Freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Amen. Anybody too hot? If you're too hot, let me know. I know I'm back here and it's just beautiful heat hitting me. Back there it might be not as warm. Amen. Praise be to God. So this is how the Lord says, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Now people will say, oh, a word, you know, maybe. I don't know what your understanding of prophecy is. I said the other day, when we think about a voice from God, we think about the Word of God, we think about hearing God, we get all spooky and weird, mysterious. Now, sometimes a word from the Lord will have images that are unique. How many know the book of Revelation has all kinds of weird imagery? Okay, how many know that Daniel, the dreams Daniel interpreted, had weird imagery? Are you with me? Sometimes there is some things about a word from the Lord that has images that are need to be explained or understood, right? But primarily, a word from the Lord is to your spirit. By Holy Spirit, a revelation or a knowledge of what God wants to share, to his heart. His heart to you. Now, I love this because, let's go to John. This is the real passage I wanted to speak out of, although we haven't got there yet. 1 Corinthians 14. We're not going to spend a lot of time necessarily reading that passage, so don't worry about it. Thinking, oh dear, he's going to be here for another hour now. No, we won't keep you here that long. 1 Corinthians 14. Okay. If you know your Bibles, in its context, 1 Corinthians 12, if you know, what is 1 Corinthians 12 primarily talking about? Give me just a spiritual gifts. Okay, so we're not going to go there, but if you read 1 Corinthians 12, it's primarily talking about spiritual gifts and gifts that are given to the church, the body. You know, okay, so it's and learning what those gifts are, and he's saying these gifts are to be exercised, they're to be delivered, they're to be so the church, the body of Christ, can be filled and ministered to and everything else. Now, all right, how many know what chapter 14 is about before we get there? What is it? Thank you very much. Prophecy in tongues. So what he does in chapter 14, he says, okay, there are these spiritual gifts. All right, now when you start chapter 14, okay, in between 12 and 14 is what? Hey, love. If it's not wrapped up in love, don't even bother saying it. Oh, it might be the right word, but if it's not wrapped up in love, you just think about it. There's something about a word from the Lord, And that, so he begins, I love this. This is what he says. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, because he just finished talking about love in chapter 13. He even says in chapter 13, he said, if you can have all the gifts, but if you don't have love, you're just a big noise. Let me just say this. If you have a word from the Lord for somebody, and it may be, you know, you really did hear from God, but as you deliver it, love isn't present, it's a loud noise. Wow. Wow. It's like the clanging cymbals. It's like, oh, I don't hear it. So important that the message is wrapped in love. So verse 14, chapter 14, verse 1. Follow the way of, what is it?
Love.
Follow the way of?
Love.
Basically he's saying, listen, love has to be the supreme thing. And he says, and listen, and eagerly, what?
Desire.
What? Gifts of the Spirit, especially the? Okay, let me ask you this. Is it for special people? Okay, here's the problem. There is an office of prophets. There are people who, and the Bible talks about that. It's almost like there's a voice. Okay, Ephesians 5 has five offices that are given to the church, to the equipping of the body, right? What are they? Apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. Those are offices. And there would be those who, I believe, have a special anointing in that way, and it's to benefit the church as a whole. Benefit, you know, like I'm going to use an example. Somebody that we bring in regularly is a good friend of ours. Is Prophet Bob. We call him Prophet Bob, because there is a, so primarily, his office functions out of a gifting that's prophetic. Okay, let's just for comparison's sake. Okay. Bob, prophetic, just right. It's right there. It's like there's something very powerful in that way, and it's good to have a prophetic ministry as part of your church as you move it along. But typically, prophets are not great pastors. They can function in the capacity of a church setting. Don't get me wrong, but what is a pastor and what's typically a pastor's role, or somebody that has an office of a pastor? He's a shepherd, and it's more of a loving, caring, nurturing, you know, healing the brokenhearted and all those things, right? And then the teacher would be. Now people can have offices, like people can have strong anointing in prophetic and teaching, and or prophet or pastor and teaching or evangelist, like. I mean, if you were to evaluate your pastor, like, you know, you would. If I was to ask you, what do you think the strengths of your pastor is as far as leadership gifts? Now, you probably pick a couple of those. But does that mean that if you're a pastor or a teacher or evangelist, that you don't prophesy? See, the point I'm making here is this, guys. According to what you read here in Corinthians, and not just in this verse, he says everyone. We should especially desire the gift of prophecy. And he continues to talk about this in further ways. And he says that we should not only just desire this gift of prophecy, but we should all prophesy. That this should be something that we all desire from the Lord. And if you read that whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 14, you will see Paul's intent. Now, okay, Spirit of God comes. Acts chapter 2, Pentecost. All right, are you all ready for it? Okay, the Spirit of God comes, and all of a sudden they're immersed, they're baptized with the Spirit. Something happens. Yeah, there's all kinds of going on, but something happens dramatically in the people who are gathered. They're baptized with the Spirit. They speak in tongues. They speak in languages that are, you know, understood, and just all that stuff's going on. But something else happens. They are given the Spirit, and they're prophesying. And it's interesting because this is the part of it, because if you read Acts chapter 2, Joel says when the Spirit comes, your young men, your young women, old women, they're going to all prophesy. Right? Are you there? Okay. Prophecy is for everybody. Who believes that? Okay, what does that mean? That means you can hear from God, not only for you, you can hear from God for other people. Let me tell you something, you're probably hearing from God for other people all the time. And you're probably acting on that voice anyways. Are you with me? Maybe you haven't captured it yet. Okay. Why would it be that the Lord wants us all to prophesy? Okay, let's go back. Let's find out what prophecy is for. Okay, and I think if we understand first of all, let's understand why prophecy is important. Okay, so because he says, and he compares the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy, next few verses. Listen, 1 Corinthians 14, we already read, let's go back to verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to men but to God. So primarily the gift of tongues is for what? Talking to God. Primarily a prayer and a praise, maybe spiritual warfare. It's a language that we have reference towards God, right? And then he says, indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies, what do they do? He speaks to people. If you're prophesying, you are speaking to men. It's a generic word. You're speaking to people. And what's the purpose of prophecy? Let's strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Excuse me. That's the NIV. It's for what? Strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. That's what we're talking about here. Let me ask you this. Does God want people in your world? In your world, I'm talking about your family world, your work world, your family, your work, your shopping, your leisure. What else? Put it all in there. Campus, college, vocation. Does God want people around you to be encouraged? Does God want people around you to be strengthened? Does God want people around you to experience comfort? All right. You as an instrument in the hand of God, you as a vessel in the hand of the Lord, God can take you and take me and use me in that way. He can take me as an instrument, as a sound, like David's harp. David's harp played a sound that wasn't just music to the ears. Do you know what it did? It prophesied to Saul. Did it not? The harp ministered to his soul. I'm using that as an example. I believe music can do that. But let's just say your words are like an instrument in the hand of God. And those words that I speak to, you know, my family member, or I'll put all those situations in context, are something I'm hearing from God in my spirit. Okay? And I've discerned that. And then that word that I receive from God is delivered. All right. I just got a weird picture. You know, how many food services are now delivery services? I mean, it's like crazy, right? You go to Toronto, man. My son lives in Toronto, and other people, especially if you're single. I mean, even if you're not single, you know, you're working hard till 7 to 7 in the morning. Guess what? Delivery services are on a right. It's like, and guy comes to the door with your food, and you're like, smell it already. You can just hear him coming knocking. Now, you know, how many people do you believe out there are looking for a delivery of a message of strengthening, comfort, and encouragement? The whole world is looking for that. They're looking for the good news. Really, what they're looking for is Jesus. I want you to hear this, because let's never forget, the word that I receive is the testimony of? What is it? Testimony of? Jesus. Testimony of? Jesus. Which is the spirit of? Woo! So what I give to you as a word from the Lord, I am believing it's giving you Jesus. Giving you hope. It's a word which points the way. It's a word that is truth. It's a word that is life. Because where does it come from? Jesus, from the Father. But I'm delivering Jesus to people. So if I deliver Jesus, now that's really important to see, because when a word comes from me and I realize it's Jesus I'm delivering, I better be careful how I deliver Jesus. I don't know if you ever heard that before, but that's what I'm delivering. I'm delivering you the person of Jesus. And it could come in. Now, here's the thing. Like, I may not know the context of it. And oftentimes, a word from the Lord, it is to my spirit, by His spirit. Maybe it's in my mind, but it's a moment word. Hey, it's a word for the moment. Are you following me? So I have this scripture I read at 7 in the morning. I get to go to see this person at 11 o'clock in the morning. It's in my spirit. And Psalm 31. Are you back to there now? Psalm 31, I read it about 7:30 in the morning. I'm seeing this guy at 11 in the morning, this family. And the word is, it's spirit brings it back to my mind in the context of this situation. Boom! It ministers. Now, it can be a scripture. It doesn't have to be. We were praying last night. We had a great, wonderful worship time last night. And I'm just saying this because I don't consider myself to be a prophet. It's not my office. But do I prophesy? Yeah, all the time. It could be scripture coming through me. It could be a word or a picture or anything. But it's not. But that's what I'm trying to tell you guys. Everybody gets to prophesy. Everybody gets to express Jesus to other people. We're worshiping here last night. It got to be about 5 to 9, or maybe just around 9 o'clock, ending up our worship time. I feel my spirit. I just get up. I feel my spirit that the Lord has a word for Sheila. If you were here last night, let me ask you, did you feel that was from the Lord? Yeah. Basically, bottom line is, I didn't come prepared with anything. I know she knew it was from the Lord. She was touched in her spirit. It's weird because she had a sense. It's really weird because she didn't turn on her phone for recording anything of the service, but a minute before I got up. Like, it's crazy.
But he also invited anybody else, and there was two other people that gave
yeah.
the prophecy, and it was very special. So it wasn't just Pastor Noel.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah, because that's what it is. And we want the company. I want the people of God to be so versed. It's not like I got to have some kind of a goosebumps to give a word. How many of you know all this is by faith? Okay. You know what faith, how do you spell faith? R-I-S-K. Risk. And I'll tell you something, the more you take a risk, the more you start to see God just, You know, and you know, God's not going to beat us up if we don't get it right. There's times we don't get it right. You know, we take baby steps, fall a few times, get up and take a few more steps, and we just learn. So a big part of this prophecy thing is knowing, first of all, I said, everyone, would you all, you know, according to the word, do you believe everyone should prophesy? Hey, should you give a word? Listen, should you give somebody a word of encouragement, exhortation, or comfort? Anybody here opposed to that? Okay. If you're not opposed to that, then if you get something for somebody to bless them in the day, and who knows, God could, when you start to do it, it's like, I remember somebody saying this, and it was kind of a weird example. But it was a weird example, and I said, well, that's interesting. And I said, well, that is like that. Okay, watch this. Kleenex. Some of you need the Kleenex. Because you're sniffling up here and there. But anyways, but here, they said, okay, this is like prophecy. You start, and all of a sudden, you start, and you take out one, and the other one's there. You take out the next, and the other one's there. You take out the next, and the other one's there. You know what I mean by that? Okay, watch this. Okay. Can I give you a word? I just asking the Lord who to give a word to. You okay with that? Yeah. The Lord loves your laughter. It's been a while since you really laughed. And God's saying, I'm restoring to you laughter. Not just a smile. You have a beautiful smile. But God says, you are going to laugh from the belly. Because you're used to doing that. You haven't done it for a while. God's restoring it now for you, dear sister. Amen. Did God speak to you? Did I know that about her? Okay, where did that come? Now see what happened? It's like one word released the next line. So this is a good example of prophecy. How many have seen that one before? Nobody. Isn't that great? I just thought when somebody showed me, we got a whole lot of Kleenex here. I'm not sick. If anybody wants some of that, I can have it. So that's how it works. Because we're listening to the Spirit. We're depending on God. I mean, I'm getting more words for her right now. I'm sitting, and I'm just, you know, and the Lord's going to turn your mourning into dancing. You're going to dance, girl. Dance. You're going to turn your mourning into dancing. You're going to just go, yeah. That scripture just came to my mind. And I said, Lord, I know that's for her. Better give it to her now. Just that simple. So we just stretch in faith. So we've looked at who can prophesy. We looked at what is the purpose of prophecy. What are the three purposes, main purposes? Strengthening, encouraging and comfort, right? And we looked at love being surrounded, should be surrounded with love. Love has to be, it's got to come out of love. We talked about testing the spirits. I think we're done. I mean, this is a, books have been written on the topic, and you can listen to the great, yeah, Linda? Here. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I got that. Thank you. All right. Okay. What I'm actually going to give you an opportunity. So we have time, and that was part of my actually exercising. Doing an exercise was going to be a part of this time. It's still 10:02, like it's not late yet. And I really felt the Lord was saying, you know, as we did 2 weeks ago when we talked about hearing God's voice for us. We did the journaling thing. And if you have a piece of paper, you can do this if you want, or you don't have to, but write it. But I mean, it would be helpful. We'll do two things, okay? How about we do two things? I want to take Rinda's, what she shared, okay? But then I also want to do is I want you to take a risk and, okay, it might be easier to do it this way, but I want, because this will only include a few people that'll do, I want to include everybody. So I would like, take a minute. Okay. Partner up, okay? Just group of two or three. No more than three. Can we just do that? Just get in a group of two or three. Are you with? Just get in a group of two or three. This is not going to be real serious. It's going to be fun. Really serious. Really seriously fun. Seriously fun. Okay. All right. Now, and then we're going to do the second exercise, but I want everybody to just see how it works, all right? So go in a group of two or three. Okay, guys, if you're in a group, just find somebody to be, just right there. Just sit right there. Just get close to each other. Okay, here's the thing. Okay. Okay, I want you to look at the person through the eyes of Jesus, how they would... First, this is really simple, guys. You look to Jesus himself. Just turn... It's the same exercise as we did the other day. You got to get your eyes on Jesus. But then get your eyes on Jesus for the other person. Okay, it's like, okay, Jesus, what would you... It's like, Jesus, what would you like to say to this person? Now listen, all I want is just no more than a line. Could be a word. I don't want a paragraph. Got it? There's no paragraph here. It's a word or a line. Line with maybe 5 to 6 words. Okay? But you could say, this is what Jesus would like you to know. Okay? Now, I'll tell you what you do. How do you know that? You capture what's coming into your heart. You can capture it, and then if you want, take about a second and ask the question, is that what Jesus would say? Take a second. So remember, whatever thought that the Lord has given you, right? It's like coming to your spirit. Listen, God says if you ask for fish, he's not going to give you a snake, right? If you ask for bread, he's not going to give you stone. If you ask his Holy Spirit, he will give you his spirit. So Lord, right now, I thank you. Your spirit lives in this place. Your spirit lives in each person. You don't have to think about it. In a second, the Lord's going to deposit something in your mind and you're going to release it. So it's only going to be literally maybe a minute or two and you're going to all have somebody say a word to each other. So everybody gets a word from somebody. Like I said, and just listen, I don't want you explaining it. You give it to them, let them... And then let's just see what the Lord will do, okay? Everybody, ready? Go.